we present Caroline, Queen of the Pirates, a series in 13 parts in which Dave Windsor traces the history of the world's best-known offshore radio station, Radio Caroline. Episode 5 is called Piracy on the High Seas.
Loving awareness, Radio Caroline. Love and good music, Radio Caroline.
Good morning and welcome to another day's broadcasting from Radio Caroline 558. We broadcast from the Ross Revenge, anchored in international waters on the North Sea.
Love and good music, Radio Caroline.
On the 29th of May, 1972, the two radio ships were put up for sale at public auction. The former North ship, the MV Caroline, was sold for scrap to a Dutch company, Frank Rijsdijk Holland, for the sum of 26,500 guilders. The South ship, the Mi Amigo, however, was bought for 20,000 guilders by a Dutch free radio organization operated by Gerard van Dam. He insisted that the ship would be used to house a pirate radio museum. But this was, in fact, to prove a red herring. Caroline was on her way back. After being laid up for 4 years, the Mi Amigo was in a very bad state of repair. The enthusiastic Van Damme, however, was intent on getting the vessel out to open sea and working once again as a radio station. But at what cost? One of the people to play a major part in the return of the station was former Radio North Sea International engineer Peter Chicago.
I remember as we actually went out to sea, we all had to sign a disclaimer of personal sort of liability or whatever one calls it. As we were all being towed out to sea on this hulk, we all had to sign our lives away. Well, Ronan was furious because at the point the boat went to sea, it had to have a captain and a full crew. And all the way along the line, he'd been assured by Gerard that this was, in fact, going to happen. Although, at the last, it was watered down to one captain. And I think he'd have been fairly happy to have settled for the one captain. But the captain we had, and I believe we actually did have a captain signed up, first of all, decided he was going to meet the boat at IJmuiden, and not, in fact, in Zaandam. And somehow he never made it in IJmuiden, and the boat left without him, and I can remember that was one thing that made Ronan really angry. Well, there were two things. First of all, the boat had to have a working generator when it left. I think Gerard's enthusiasm led him to gild the lily a bit, and I think if Ronan had genuinely known the true state of the boat as we left for sea, there's no way he would have allowed it.
Despite all the odds, the Mi Amigo did return to sea, and a whole new era in the life of Britain's first offshore commercial radio station was about to begin. Another person to play a major part in raising the phoenix from the ashes, so to speak, was Chris Carey, alias DJ Spangles Muldoon, who explains what the early days in 1972 were like. It was tough going, and very different to the Mebo 2, aboard which Chris had worked for Radio Nordsee.
I remember Ronan was on the back of the ship, and Black Merchants, as he said, "Look, Chris, it's like joining the Beatles." And in a way, he was absolutely right. The ship was wrecked, but it had the magic that Mebo will never have. And Mebo was just a functional thing, rather like Radio London. Caroline was the pioneer, the station that did things against all odds. And that was it. I sort of stayed there. And I remember going down to where we used to eat. And Jimmy said, "Look, do you want something to eat?" So I said, "Yeah, sure. What have you got?" He said, "Well, everything we've got on the ship is on the table." And there was about, you know, half a pound of ham, two rations of bacon. There really wasn't very much. But it'd only been out there about a week. We had one generator, which just about put enough energy out to light a few lights. And it was just into a beginning. It was nothing to do with broadcasting or engineering. Chicago and myself were painting and chipping the decks and just sort of throwing rubbish over the side that had been accumulated in the harbour and just turning it back into something you could live in. And after about a month of that, we achieved some cabins and, you know, the generator situation had got better and we started getting into more and more energy into the studios. It was very debatable what we were going to do because we were holding back on the actual broadcast side of it for so long because we were sort of told that, well, there's lots of money going to come and you can have all the best equipment in the world. So we didn't bother sort of repairing what we'd got, we just sort of thought, left it all, just cleared out everything and just continued painting and making the ship good, which is about the only thing we could do, because money was pretty short then. Even though something like £1,000 a week was coming into the station, it's as expensive, as I said before, free radio is not free, it costs fortunes. We started to sort of get feedback that there really wasn't too much money about, and that we'd really have to make do with what we'd got. So we built up the studios of what we could find, which was quite a lot of stuff over from 67. Just needed repairing, and the salt water got out of it and generally cleaned up. And I think it was the day that Veronica changed frequency and North Sea jumped on their frequency that we were just about ready. We just had a new generator delivered. The aerial at that time was still in good shape, and we went on with test transmissions on 259 on 10 kilowatts, which was pretty powerful. We had a good aerial system. Chicago's a good engineer, and we got results from the ship that I don't think anybody expected.
Serving the European continent from the North Sea, this is the new Radio Caroline.
That day of first test transmissions from the Mi Amigo was the 30th of September, 1972. Broadcasts were made on 259 meters, 1187 kilohertz.
That, I believe, is a new single from Straub's called Lay Down. You're listening to a test transmission from the station broadcasting on 1187 kilocycles. That's 259 meters in the medium wave band. Please send your reception reports to Post Box 2448, The Hague in Holland, and state where you live and how loud you're hearing us. And all those sort of things. And you can also pull a subnote on and guess the name of the station. And if you think you know the answer, send in two Rolls Royces, £100.
Radio, Radio Caroline.
3 months of sporadic tests and the loss of the aerial tower culminated in a frequency change to 199 meters and a new call sign. Disc jockey Crispian St. John remembers.
It was as a new station, Radio 199, which was meant to be a regional radio station aimed at The Hague and the western parts of Holland. That, of course, was on 199 meters. 199 broadcast a mixture of programming in both Dutch and English. And we had advertising found to us by a local advertising agency who went round selling airtime to local businessmen. And they would say, listen, if you want to hear your commercials on Caroline, tell us what you want to hear. And they would tell us, give us the details. We would phone the office, or the advertising agent would phone the office, and the details could be broadcast. The commercial could be broadcast within literally minutes on the station. That's how fast things worked in those days. I think 199 was most successful in its own way, especially as it pioneered a new kind of format of mixing English and Dutch programming. And that was rather than splitting them up into, say, Dutch during the daytime and English at night, which was the sort of tradition at that time. However, looking back, of course, the aim of the organisation was to bring Radio Caroline back on the air. And because of that, work continued yet again throughout the day and night towards that end.
Test transmission from Radio 199. If you just tuned our way, good evening to you and welcome to this test transmission. Our program's proper starts tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock with non-stop music. At 7 o'clock, it's me, Andy Archer, with you till 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, it's Leon Kayser. 12 o'clock, Jeremy Bender. He's a man of leisure. 14, 2 o'clock, is Paul Dubois. 16 o'clock, or 4 o'clock if you're British, Crispian St. John. And 6 o'clock is myself, Andy Archer, back with Leon Kayser. Minutes now past 10 o'clock, and this is Ricky Wilde, and I am an astronaut.
Radio Caroline.
Ronan had this gift of getting together some very, very good people, which doubtless they were at that time. I mean, nobody else. I mean, the average run-of-the-mill person would never have survived in situations like we were going through. No water, very bad weather, masts falling down and things like that. At that particular time, there were so many bosses running around, you know, sort of Chris was a boss and Gerard Van Damme was a boss and Ronan was a boss. And everybody was at cross purposes the whole time. So there was a lot of confusion. Nobody really knew what was going on, not even the bosses, which doesn't say much for the workforce.
On the 22nd of December 1972, Radio 199 overnight became Radio Caroline.
Yeah.
Het is 7:07. U bent bij Leon Keeser op Radio Caroline. En dit is de hitpick van een van mijn collega's, Jeremy Dende. En dat is onze Belgische collega en heeft dit deze week gekozen. Caroline Sure Shots.
That's the Beach Boys there from the album... The album simply called The Beach Boys and a track called Serve a Girl. 10:25 here in Central Europe. You're tuned to Caroline. And I've got Leon here in the studio with me. He wants to have a message to his girlfriend. So, Leon.
Ja, hallo. Nou, Dori, ik weet niet waar je uithangt op het moment. Ik weet niet of je luistert. Maar ik zou in ieder geval thuis blijven. Want over een uurtje of zo, of over anderhalf uur, dan bel ik op. Want ik kom van het schip af. Dus ik ben vanavond thuis. Dat is alles.
Hey,
nooit weg, gelukkig.
Kerstmis
thuis.
Gerardje,
blijf hier.
Hallo Gerard, very nice to see you.
How are you? Hello, Chris. Ja, nou ik zit er dus in, hè? Chris?
Yeah. I don't know what you're saying, but there you go. Lovely. Okay, for our English listeners, those are some Dutch gentlemen, very nice indeed.
Oh,
too much white boy. If you keep touching my hand like that, the record will fall off.
It's awful.
Number one in Europe.
Caroline.
Music from Stevie Wonder.
Please.
I didn't tell it's number two, but there you go.
Sound of the Nation Radio Caroline.
Just after Christmas, Radio Caroline was to make the headlines. The crew of the Mi Amigo had not been paid, and as a reprisal, they cut the fuel lines to the lighting generator. They then left the vessel, leaving only disc jockeys Andy Archer, Crispian St. John, and Dutchman Paul Dubois, together with engineer Peter Chicago and Captain Van der Kamp on board. At 3:41 on the 28th of December, Andy Archer told his listeners that Radio Caroline had visitors and that as a result he was going on deck to investigate. The Royal Netherlands Navy anti-submarine escort Limburg had arrived, along with a small vessel, the Sea Mews, which contained the dissatisfied crew members who had earlier left the Mi Amigo. Archer returned to the studio and informed his listeners of the recent burst of activity alongside.
Thank you, Radio Caroline on 199 meters. Some events are happening outside. There's a Dutch naval destroyer, the D814, parked about 200 yards away from us. And also a small launch from this destroyer has come alongside us. We don't know what's happening. It seems to be a slight problem. But we're talking with the crew of the small launch. And standing back away is a ship called the Sea News, along with certain personnel from Radio Caroline. So to our office in Scheveningen, everything is all right at the moment. As soon as we have any news, we'll of course come on and tell you about it. Until then, we go on with some music from the band, and this is a live LP starting off with a number called The Wait. We're having a lot of trouble out here. There's a fight starting on the deck over something, so we may have to go off the air. We'll continue music until then.
Peter Chicago takes up the story.
In fact, the reason or reasons for the mutiny are really quite simple. Gerard Van Dam, who was really no more than a kind of a manager that we had in Holland, had the ambition really of running the station himself. Through circumstances, was actually in a position where he was more or less running the station and certainly in charge of hiring Dutch disc jockeys that we were using at the time, sorting out the Dutch advertising side. And when it became obvious that we wanted to switch the station to an all-day English radio station, and there was serious talk about bringing the boat over to England, he suddenly decided to try and pull a fast one. He'd hired a particularly nasty complement of crew, all gangster types of a certain type of person that comes from The Hague. Not even really proper seamen. There's a word for it in Dutch, Hagenaar. These people sided with him. he claimed to be the sole owner of the boat, and as far as they knew, I suppose that's what he might have been. So it really came down to a question as to whether the boat really belonged to Gerard or whether it belonged to, you know, this English-Irish-Swiss consortium. It was more a question of not wanting to give in. I felt that the crew had gone off expecting that the whole thing would have run down within an hour. Lights would have gone out. That would have been it. Would have been desperate to get them back again. So I felt, no way will we give in. We're going to keep the thing running. And the captain on board pretended to be absolutely horrified that his crew had deserted the ship. This was his professed attitude. And I said, well, there isn't any great problem. We can run the ship. And he was telling me that he would have them for mutiny and there was nothing he wasn't going to do with them. And we kind of accepted that the crew had gone. A few days later, during the day, a boat came out from shore and I spotted some of the crew members on board the boat. And I don't really know what gave me a premonition of trouble, but I had a feeling that the only reason they had come back was to make trouble. The captain was on deck beside me. Their boat came closer and closer, and I didn't feel at all worried. You know, captain standing behind me, Dutch Navy in front kind of thing. What actually happened was that as these people attempted to board, which in fact they did, and I went in to try and stop them boarding, the captain grabbed my arms, and the next minute I was being beaten by an iron bar. I really didn't know what was going on. Well, my first act when I actually managed to sort myself out was to immediately take off to the transmitter room and, before anybody could stop me, take the crystals out of the transmitters and throw them into the sea. In fact, by totally disabling the broadcasting station, I'd given myself a bargaining position. And I said to Gerard, the only way I would put the station back on the air, because I could have... was still able to get the transmitter back on, although there was no way a non-technical person could have done it, certainly not very quickly without ordering new crystals. So I bargained with him, and the bargain was that the crew depart from the ship. And at this point I included the captain. There was a lot of arguing, and finally, because they were desperate to get back on the air anyway, they kind of met my demands. Ronan came out that night and we dismissed the captain. And Ronan did officially appoint me, in front of a couple of witnesses, captain of the boat.
Programs on 199 continued normally for 2 days, the attempted mutiny supposedly having been thwarted. Following close down, however, on the 30th of December, the Mi Amigo was in trouble once again. Andy Archer.
One night, Captain Vanderkamp and the crew came out, all the crew that were owed money, and took over the ship. We were pretty helpless, really, because they came on board with revolvers and things. And once they'd got on board, they threw their revolvers and guns into the sea and just carried lumps of iron and pieces of wood. And we just sat there and were towed into the harbour of Amsterdam.
The new year, now just around the corner, was already looking gloomy. Had the efforts of the preceding months been in vain, or would the Mi Amigo defy the odds and return to sea? Chris Carey.
It was very freaky how we got out. We were only in the harbour about 3 or 4 days, and we went out really without too many problems. It was against all odds, but we just did all the right things at the right time and pleased enough people at the right time, and suddenly we just sailed out. And then lots of energy went into talking to all these harbour officials. And the Dutch are not like the English. They sort of see a little bit of logic. There was no reason for that ship to be in there. It was an embarrassment to them being there anyway. And I remember Chicago was really a big influence on this. He steamed into some office and said, look, I want to leave, you know, with this ship. Who's going to stop me? And they said, well, we really can't stop you. You know, you've paid your bills. You shouldn't be here anyway. You're not properly registered. You better go if you want to go. You know, I'm not going to stop you. And this was, I think, on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve, and there weren't too many bureaucrats around. And with that, we went. To tell the full story for this dramatic 2 days would take a whole book. But we went out without too many problems.
At 5 p.m. on New Year's Day 1973, two tugs towed the Mi Amigo down the canals and into open sea. She anchored near to her original position in international waters some 4 miles off the port of Scheveningen. At 8 minutes past three on the afternoon of the 2nd of January, transmissions resumed, but this time on the new frequency of 1187 kilohertz in Dutch and English.
Whoever you are and wherever you may be, you need music. And the kind of music you need is supplied by Radio Caroline. Radio Caroline on 259 is for you.
Kinderzijnde havenautoriteiten, de PTT, en ook vooral de politie van Amsterdam en van IJmuiden die ons zo verschrikkelijk goed behandeld hebben. Ook gisteravond toen we in de haven van IJmuiden lagen en enigszins moeilijkheden waren, maar dat zullen jullie allemaal wel in de krant gelezen hebben, wat ook schromelijk overdreven is allemaal. Ik ben het er niet mee eens, dat kan ik u nou wel vertellen. In ieder geval mijn dank tot alle officiële instanties voor hun medewerking om het fantrip Caroline weer in de lucht te krijgen.
Radio Caroline.
Caroline Club requests are giving out all the Caroline Club requests, and you can hear that next week as well. So if you'd like to give us a postcard or a letter to the address, the Caroline Club request, hour or 2 hours in fact, 16 Van Hogendorpstraat, The Hague in Holland. That's Caroline House, of course. Caroline House, 16 Van Hogendorpstraat, The Hague in Holland. Foot in the top left-hand corner. Caroline Club requests, all right?
Yesterday, yes. Go is a movie about the new American dream.
When you need someone to guide you, a helping hand to be beside you, look around, I'll be behind you. I'm the one.
The gold rush has started in Europe.
Cause gold can make you pretty younger.
Gold is at the Classic Cinema in Piccadilly Circus, just under the Guinness clock.
When you're looking for that.
New gold, new music, a new movie.
Gold is a movie about the new American dream.
When you need someone to guide you.
can do. I really don't know why you try. Your chances are so few. Take away my freedom. Well, you have no chance at all. For my freedom's in my mind, and you can't break down the wall.
A movie about a new American dream.
Transmissions had become more regular. Between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., programs were broadcast in Dutch and in English from 6 in the evening until 6 the following morning. Advertising was slowly coming in, and Caroline was once again finding her feet. However, increasing generator problems caused a number of breakdowns, and the station was finally forced off the air at 11:05 on the morning of the 26th of February, 1973. And in next week's episode, a hurricane hits the Dutch coast, and Caroline goes to the aid of her neighbors, Radio Veronica.
Caroline, Queen of the Pirates, a series in 13 parts tracing the history of the world's best-known offshore radio station, Radio Caroline. The producer wishes to thank East Anglian Productions of Frinton, Essex, for their valuable assistance in the making of this program. The series is produced and presented by Dave Windsor.